Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Sorry for the late start, everyone. I'm opening up the chat room. So if you're listening, go to the chat room, give yourself a chat name, and I will promote you today. How's that? Hey, it's your last week to see Misery on Broadway. You want to check that out? Misery on Broadway, last week to see it. Pretty good. There's a great thing floating around on Facebook with Stephen King backstage during the last week. Well, it's a very interesting story. Look it up online. Misery on Broadway at the Broadhurst Theater with Bruce Willis and Lauren Metcalf. I loved it. How do we begin today? Chat room is open if you haven't joined the chat. Oh, I love this shameless plug for myself, which is another way of saying my CDs are on CD Baby.
Hi, I'm Nancy Lombardo. Would you like to do something special this Christmas? Me too. So this Christmas, instead of sponsoring some silly little third world child, why not sponsor me, Nancy Lombardo, an American? For just pennies a day, barely the cost of a cup of Prozac, you can be my sponsor. Just imagine what your money can do for me. With your help, I can afford new headshots, resumes, voice lessons, demo reels, and the much-needed psychiatric help my friends have been joking about behind my back. Think about it. You can save me, Nancy Lombardo, an American, or some anonymous foreign kid who will probably just grow up to overthrow our government. I think the choice is simple, America. Don't you?
Always fun, always fun. Busy multitasking. Don't forget Betty Jo Tucker Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And now, one of my favorite groups here. The music that I can play of their songs, I do. Here we go. And that's for radio.
Meryl Streep is from the future. She has traveled back in time. She comes from a land where stars shine brighter, like Meryl shines in yours and mine. Back in the future where Meryl's from, she's just an acting average Joe. But now that Meryl's here, there are no acting heights to which she can't go.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary people. Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Back in the future when Meryl was in high school, when she couldn't get into her drama club, she flew to the physics lab with fervor and snapped upon her rubber gloves.
Using lots of scientific physics magic, Meryl grasped the hands of time.
And she fell into a wormhole, and now she's doing fine.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary mortals.
Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Everybody, listen up.
Listen up.
Remember to give Meryl all of the awards, the accreditations, the roles, the paychecks.
Accreditations!
Because if she is in the slightest bit displeased, she will once again rip back the fabric of space and time.
Time!
To the very
time.
Beginnings of humanity when we climbed out of the primordial ooze. And she will merely dip in one big fucking toe.
Big toe!
Making us all a little bit Meryl. And then she will become supreme overlord of us all!
Yeah.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of fucking everything. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else.
Ah.
So turn back time and enslave all of humanity. Oh, Meryl Streep,
we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Oh, Meryl Streep,
we love you
because you shine, shine, shine.
Gotta love Afterbirth Monkey. Look them up, follow them. They're very funny people. Very funny. I like this story by Alan Zweibel. Terrific writer. You know, from SNL and so many films. Very nice guy on top of it. So let's let Alan tell it in his words, shall we?
I wanted to be a comedy writer. I always did ever since I was a little boy growing up on Long Island, but I was in college and there was no courses, there was no curriculum, there was no way, there was no road to take to become a comedy writer. So I figured, gee, maybe I'll become a lawyer, have something to fall back on. And my grades were okay, but they made me take this test, the law boards, the LSATs. Are you familiar with this test? Which was, they're graded from 200 to 800. If you can write your name, you get a 200. If you're Albert Einstein, you get an 800. If you're me, I got a 390, which reclassified me as a mineral, like right away. And I got a 390. I went home to Long Island, told my Jewish parents that I got a 390 on the law boards. And about a week later, this is after they uncovered the mirrors, and and got up from those wooden boxes that they had brought in. My father handed me $1,000, which I then handed to a guy named Stanley Kaplan. You know this guy? He's all over. He's got these schools where they teach you how to prepare to take standardized tests. And for 6 months, $1,000, 6 months, I'm there with the earphones on and the number two pencils and taking the old tests and just really focusing on retaking the law boards, which I did 6 months later, where my score catapulted up to a 401. So I figured at that rate, I'd be 90 and my father would be broke by the time I got into an English-speaking law school. So I started writing jokes for Catskill comedians, old comedians who were working the Borscht Belt, the Jewish Alps, called the Catskill Mountains. The Catskill Mountains in the 50s and the 60s were the spawning ground for comedians. I wrote for every Morty, Dickie, Freddie, and Lee that ever lived, okay? I'm 21, they're 50 years old, and they're paying me $7 a joke. That was the rate that I got, $7 a joke. And some of them were just real pains in the ass about it because they'd only pay me if the joke got a laugh. Yeah, so what I would do is I would get in my parents' car on a Friday or Saturday night, drive from Long Island up to the Catskill Mountains, to the Concord Hotel, to the Neverly, Grossingers, wherever it was. I'd sit in the back of the room and I'd listen to my jokes being told. And then one of the comedian would come off the stage and he'd come up to me and he says, boy, you know, that joke about paving the driveway really didn't get a laugh. And I'd say, gee, I heard a laugh. And then we would bargain. And I'd go home with $4, you know. So, you know, I was 21, they're 50. You know, it was like writing for my parents' friends. And there's different sensibilities and I really didn't want to write for them, but these were the only people that I knew. And I looked around and go, no, I got to change something here. I got to change. And what I did was, there were two clubs in New York at the time. This is in the mid-70s now. It's a Catch a Rising Star and the Improvisation. There were two showcases where the newer breed of comedians at the time were coming through. So what I did was I took all the jokes that these older guys wouldn't buy from me, and I made it up into a stand-up comedy act for myself. And I went to the club, and my plan was to go on stage, deliver the jokes with the hopes that a manager, an agent, a TV executive, all of whom were hanging out at these clubs now, would like the material and give me a job. The first week that I'm there, I met a guy who was also starting out. His name is Billy Crystal. And he was starting, and we became fast friends. I lived in Woodmere, Long Island with my parents. And he lived in Long Beach, Long Island with his wife and kid. He's more mature than I am, okay? And every night he would take his little blue Volkswagen and pick me up at my parents. By the way, in case it ever comes up in conversation, this is the international symbol for little blue Volkswagen, okay? He would pick me up at my parents' house, we'd go into the city, tell our jokes, and then he would take me home. About 4 months into this experiment, I'm on stage about 1 o'clock in the morning, having the hardest time in the world making these six drunks from Des Moines laugh. I get off the stage and I'm really upset. It was horrible. I go over to the bar and I'm hanging my head and waiting for Billy to get done so I can get a ride home. When a guy comes and he sits down next to me and just starts staring at me and staring at me, and finally I go, "What?" He goes, "You know, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life." I said, "I know. Why rub this in like this? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, your material's not bad. Did you write it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I see more of it?" I said, "You bet." I didn't even ask who it was at first, because I would have shown it to like a gardener at this point, okay? Ends up, this guy is Lorne Michaels.
That's a great story, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. I'm looking for a little Tom Carosa. Shoot, he has a new song and I forgot to download it. Oh, so sorry, Tom. Let me see if I can do it during the course of the show. And but he did write a song that I kind of like. It has to do with show business as well, right? Here we go. Hanging there. I was just looking up. Let's do my friend George Bentinger from the Mom Pop Shop Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. at 4 p.m. on Dreamstream Radio. Let's do a little quick promo for him, shall we?
Say the secret word and the deck will come down and pay you $1,000. You're listening to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo! What is it, Kylie? What is it? I want to listen to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts.
That's an amazing thing. This is Jackie Mason, and you're listening to Comedy Concepts with my good friend Nancy Lombardo right here on the wonderful station on Blog Talk Radio. If you knew it, if you only knew what you were hearing, you'd understand that this is the greatest program a person could ever have. Nancy Lombardo right here at Comedy Concepts.
And now Nancy
Hello, my name is Maria McGregor, teller of lore, and this is my story, the title being First Love. Across the early misty mire, where e'er I ne'er do live and dire, my young heart e'er did feel desire, a courting I would go. I walked across the boggy cliffs. The moors were filled with an eerie mist. The air was thin and the ground was thick and a sticking to me boots. I went in search of Jacques McFlurrin, the red-headed lad I e'er adorin, the only man I knew would be, e'er only man for me. 'Twas then I came upon the lake, the loch, the lair that ne'er escape was dark, and e'er I could make the ripples in the pond. For with a shudder and with a shake, before I knew what was at stake, the earth did quiver, quade and quake. Was then I did me air intake. Am I scaring you? 'Twas the creature from the lake. Its skin was green with an oozy bream, and pieces of flesh hung in between its teeth. Its eyes were mean and quite unclean, and one swung back and forth and back and forth. Then with a roar and a fiery glore, who was it then that the monster saw but the man I loved, young Jacques McLaurin, a waving there at me? Oh no, I said, go back, I dread. But was too late, the monster reared his head and ripped young Jacques from the ground just like a tree. His little legs dangled like roots, you see, as the monster chopped with a deadly glee. Then it ripped him in one and in two and in three, then it swallowed him up in one gulp. Young Jacques was gone. I stood there all forlorn, not knowing what to do. The man I loved had now turned into a terrible mushy goo. The creature then returned to the deep. The love I knew would never keep. But what the heck, it wasn't me. Tomorrow's another day.
Nice. I'll play that for Valentine's Day. Now, Trashamation. That's how you say it. Trashamation, which these two brothers from out Utah somewhere, with their song, It Could Always Be Worse. There you go.
My girlfriend just dumped me.
Aw, maybe I can help.
You say your girlfriend dumped you when you feel like you've been cursed. But try and look on the bright side, it could always be much worse. Like you could break your dominant hand, or burn your tongue a corn on the cob, or have your laptop charger fried and get demoted at your job. Like you could have a leaky roof, or have your home go up in flames, or get into an accident and have insurance reject your claim.
That's not so bad.
Oh, yeah?
It could always be worse. You just wait and see. It could always be worse. glad it's not happening to me. It could always be worse. How much worse could it be? Let's find out, shall we? Like losing all your income and turning to the streets, then rummaging through garbage cans just for a bite to eat. Like getting life in prison for a crime you didn't do, or coming down with smallpox, cholera, and scurvy too.
Aren't those a little far-fetched? Maybe, but
it could always be worse. Worse, you just wait and see. It could always be worse.
Worse,
glad it's not happening to me. It could always be worse.
Oh yeah,
how much worse could it be? Well, find out, won't we? So what if your girlfriend dumps you? You'll do fine on your own. It could always be much worse unless you die alone.
Oh,
oops. Well, you could drown in toxic waste or get impaled by a unicorn. Like being mistaken for an easy chair or stepping on a thorn.
And then being ripped apart by lions.
Like being enslaved by mountain men or flung from a trebuchet. Like being devoured by giant crabs or floating through the Milky Way.
These are ridiculous.
Still, it could always be worse.
Worse.
And now I'm sure you can see it.
It could always be worse.
Glad it's not happened to me. It can always be worse.
Oh yeah.
How much worse could it be? We found out, haven't we?
Fine, you win. It could always be worse.
You're welcome. Well, gotta go. I've got a date.
One day, funny. Okay, now Tom Carosa's song, his new song, Don't Fall for Him, Julie. Okay, that was Tom Carozza's new song. Okay, check it out. Okay, we're having fun. Don't forget, Betty Jo Tucker is, in honor of Valentine's Day, giving away her book, It Had to Be Us. It's free for download, so you want to check that out. Go to http://tinyurl.com/HQ4G4A, and it's free. It's free. I'm posting it right here now. Wow, the show sure went fast, didn't it? Gail Parento just got in the house in time for it. And hi, Gail Parento. How's Bo Davidson doing? Okay, let's see. all right, I know. Just got my thing out, right? All right, I've only got 90 seconds. I guess I'll go out on me and the show will end, but this will stay online. It's one of my songs available on my CD, which you can get on CD Baby. Don't forget, I'll be out of headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m.
I'll be in change.
Watch my TV show tonight at 7 p.m. on WWE.
By a white lobster that walked river and spoke with a French accent. Now, what this meant, I'll never know. But I do know if I told anybody, I'd be labeled a lunatic. And labeled wrong. My message for the public good. Let's say you're at a party. And you can take out a labeling gun and start tagging people like they do in Wild Kingdom. Wacko. Loser. You're so friendly. That would really be good. But not too friendly like the guys in the office. Or your boss who's really nice. Except in an earthquake you'd really be thinking, he's old. He's slow. I can beat him to the door jam. Oh, yeah, L.A.'s a jammed-up situation. I have enough faults I wouldn't purposely build my home over one. The one time I was naive enough to think that generic food was for the elderly. It made sense to me at the time, all those big black and white labels. Tuna, spaghetti, dolphin. And then a friend pointed out, Nancy, there's a difference between generic and geriatric. Boy, did I feel foolish not to be confused with that. But I do think they have a lot to do with each other, since men tend to do a lot of thinking from that area. What all this has to do with nothing is, don't you know? How my brain works and connects things like so. So anytime you think I'm crazy, you're probably right.
Well, there you go, another fun show. Buy my CDs. It's not a subliminal message, it's a demand. Have a good day.